No, that's aggro. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast around the globe on the American Forces Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show the New York Times bestselling sports writer, Jane Levy. She has a new book entitled Make Me Commissioner. I Know What's Wrong with Baseball and How to Fix It. Jane, welcome back to the show. And I've always admired the fact that you were able to get it done, especially the time you started and how male-dominated it was. The question I have is, when you were at the Post, did you ever see Thomas Boswell smile?
Yes.
Okay, there
maybe
it is.
Maybe once. Once. There you go.
He just seemed so miserable whenever I saw him in the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
Okay, so now, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, he would always, after he filed, he could smile. but watching him on deadline was an exercise in self-restraint. You just wanted to go over and say, okay, it'll be all right. You can stop. You can stop. Shaking. It'll be all right.
All right.
But boy, what he produced was great.
Yeah. You know, he was the guy that said, you know, Canseco's the one with the steroid milkshake. And, you know, I was an A's fan at the time going, shut up. And I'm like, oh, wait, he was right.
Yeah, he was right. You know, it was such a, really, it was one of those secrets that wasn't a secret. And, I mean, because after all, what they found in McGuire's locker was sitting right there. It didn't take much to look at a lot of those bodies. I remember and say, that's different. What happened between last year and this year? And I remember somebody saying to me, you know, it's very obvious in the sluggers and the numbers of people who used to have warning track power and, you know, now go a little further. But it was also noticeable in when we back when we had middle, you know, inning relievers, they had suddenly a lot of people had rubber arms in that era. They could go every day, no problem, and nothing tore.
Yeah, every day, Eddie. In fact, there's one for you. All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Make me commissioner. I like that you actually have, you know, you break it down. And one of them, you talk about the human element. And I think about, you know, when a guy comes out of the bullpen throwing 95, we don't even blink. We're like, wake me up when he hits 102. But nowadays, too, it's like my Mormon friends. You can't get married until you do your mission. It's like, well, you're not really a pitcher until you've had your first Tommy John. So what about that human element now, especially for pitchers?
Well, it obviously has a double meaning. One is that to be human means that you have parts that tear and break and that aren't meant to do what they are being taught to do and encouraged to do. You know, it used to be, as one of the guys at Driveline, you know, said to me a long time ago, everybody thought if you had 90, if you were born with 90, you had 90, and that was it. And then they figured out how to make it trainable, and how to make it diabolical, and how to, you know, and add, you know, all kinds of tunneling and wind shifting seams and this and that and the next thing. And the UCL is a little skinny little thing, kind of like one of those rubber bands you put on a lobster claw to make sure they don't bite you on their way into the boiling water. And when you see how small it is, and the guy who does a lot of the research for MLB, Glenn Fleissig, you know, decided he wanted to find out if the little Tommy John ligament, as he refers to it, was a different size in these, you know, newer, bigger, stronger humans that we're producing, or compared to, like, me or you. Well, it turns out that they're not. He bought, believe it or not, 20 arms from, I guess there's a place you can go and say, I want some body parts. And he went and he got arms and elbows, and he dissected them, and he found out You know, Jacob deGrom's UCL isn't any bigger than yours or mine. So the forces that are being brought to bear on those by guys who are pumped up and, you know, have learned how to maximize every shred of effort that their bodies can muster is ridiculous. And the torque on the elbow, that you know, valgus force, it's called, when they go from the layback position. You see those famous pictures of like Koufax with his arm all the way back behind his head. When he said, when it reaches all the way back, when it's turning in the socket, it's turning the shoulder joint. Turning in the shoulder joint. It's turning at 65 miles an hour. So that's how fast, you know, your car goes on a lot of interstates. And then the forces brought to bear when they're letting go of it, when they come forward and they let go of it, I think you said we're 12 six-pound bowling balls. And then when you at the end, it feels like somebody who weighs 200 pounds is pulling your arm out of your socket. Mm. So it's no wonder that it breaks. And the question is, you know, who's going to be the smart guy, the smart person to say this is not economically viable? And more to the point, it's not made the game better. It's made the game different from how it was ever played before. You know, you used to have guys going nine innings. Do you think we'll ever see a perfect game again? I don't.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely way more specialized now, and it's not good. But I think also about the, and I know you tackle it, the economic part of it, that Juan Soto, and look, I have nothing against the players. If somebody's going to offer me $765 million, I'm going to say yes. But then you have a team like you know, the Marlins or the Tampa Bay or Pittsburgh going, well, I guess we can draft a guy and try and develop him. What about the haves and have-nots when it comes to that?
Yeah. Do you remember the guy, Roy Eisenhart, who ran the A's in the 80s for his father-in-law, Walter Haas?
Oh, yes.
He teaches sports law, and he's, needless to say, a smart guy. I had to collect some sages for this. And one of the things he points out that makes baseball is a structural problem is by April, you know, and he may be exaggerating a little bit here, but, you know, that half the teams are not going to be competitive throughout the season. So you can just, you know, why should you go see the Pirates except when Skeens is pitching? And people don't. Or when the Yankees come to town, or the Dodgers, or something like that. So you've got a financial system that is incentivizing. And I hate that word. I was taught in college never to end words with that ending. But incentivizing players to pitch in a way that is unhealthy and is guaranteed to pretty much, you know, like as you said, you know, the revisions or the guys who are starting to become not the norm but very typical, like Shohei Ohtani's and two Tommy Johns, and it's unhealthy for the game as well, because the inequities are so vast. And it's a problem that, you know, everybody thought they would solve. Roy kept saying, well, you know, football solved it, basketball solved it, we thought for sure baseball would solve it, and they haven't. It's become more and more entrenched with, you know, the other day Bryce Harper, you know, got in Manfred's face over the idea that there would be a salary cap in baseball. Well, you know, that system worked really well for a really long time. And I was a union member. I say this with great trepidation, but something has to give here. The players who are on a minimum are playing for too little. I mean, to a lot of people out there, $760,000 a year probably sounds pretty good. It sounds good to me. But in a business that is worth $12 billion, you know, and where Juan Soto's making $765 million of it, it just is nuts. And there's got to be a way to make it worthwhile. And Jim Palmer said this to me. He said, why shouldn't somebody in Pittsburgh, you know, feel like it's worth it to go out to the stadium the way somebody in Queens, New York says, yeah, let's go to Citi Field tonight. And it's a crazy way to run a business.
Don't forget Roy Eisenhart, when he left that Martel law firm, he asked his father-in-law, hey, can my buddy at the firm, Sandy Alderson, can he be general counsel? He's like, sure, hire whoever you want. And then 2 years later, he makes him the GM. And so there's a little extra connection there. All right, I only got time for one more question, even though I have 100 questions for you. I know one of your ideas is to let kids in free to the game, which I think is outstanding. Tell us a little bit more about that concept.
Well, basically, baseball has to grow a new generation. And to do so, they need to grow a pair of balls and say, we got to do something different. Unfortunately, you sort of pointed how old I am and how long ago I, you know, started doing this. You know, my generation is, if not dead, it's getting to the point where we certainly could be. And if you want this game and this, you know, whole history not to come to a, you know, screeching halt, you need to get kids interested. They've got data that shows you become a baseball fan younger than you become a football fan or a basketball fan. You become a player younger than you become a football player or a basketball player. So I had an economist, a pal at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, Mike Halpert, run some numbers for me. And in 2023, if you took a 10-year-old, if you a dad or you a granddad or whoever, took a kid to the park, and the kid got, let's say, a $12.50 ticket free, and you bought him the following, the smallest soda, the smallest hot dog, some peanuts or Cracker Jack or something, and a cap. And he ran these numbers on the Cubs because he's a Cubs guy. The Cubbies would have lost $4 million on that deal with every 10-year-old accompanied by an adult getting in free.
Wow.
That year, the Cubbies paid Jason Hayward $21 million to play for the Dodgers. So I don't want to call $4 million chump change, but
right.
Come on, you know? And think of the PR coup it would be. You know, we want people at our ballparks. How many upper decks are filled every night?
Yeah.
You know, maybe the Dodgers, you know, and the Yankees, you know, something like that. Otherwise, there's, you know, swaths of empty seats. As Mike Rizzo said to me before he was fired by the Nats, fill them up.
Yeah.
Fill them up.
I got 100 more questions. I wish I had more time. So that means people need to pick up the book. Make me commissioner. I know what's wrong with baseball and how to fix it. We're just scratching the surface with Jane Levy. Jane, great stuff. Congrats on the book, and let's catch up down the road.
Thanks. Hey, you know what? Anytime you want me to come back and talk, I'm available.